The following is the Wikipedia entry for transhumanism. It is current as of November 22, 2008. For the text version of this entry, please visit www.wikipedia.org. Transhumanism, symbolized by H+, a term often used as a synonym for human enhancement, is an international, intellectual, and cultural movement supporting the use of science and technology to enhance human mental and physical aptitudes and overcome what it regards as undesirable and unnecessary aspects of the human condition, such as disability, suffering, disease, aging, and involuntary death. Transhumanist thinkers study the possibilities and consequences of developing and using human enhancement techniques and other emerging technologies for these purposes. Possible dangers, as well as benefits, of powerful new technologies that might radically change the conditions of human life are also a concern to the transhumanist movement. Although the first known use of the term transhumanism dates from 1957, the contemporary meaning is a product of the 1980s when futurists in the United States began to organize what has since grown into the transhumanist movement. Transhumanist thinkers predict that human beings may eventually be able to transform themselves into beings with such greatly expanded abilities as to merit the label post-human. Transhumanism is therefore sometimes referred to as post-humanism, or a form of transformational activism influenced by post-humanist ideals. Transhumanist foresight of a transformed future humanity has attracted many supporters and detractors from a wide range of perspectives. Transhumanism has been described by one critic, Francis Fukuyama, as the world's most dangerous idea, while one proponent, Ronald Bailey, counters that it is the movement that epitomizes the most daring, courageous, imaginative, and idealistic aspirations of humanity. Contents: history, theory, aims, ethics, currents, spirituality, practice, technologies of interest, arts and culture, controversy, infeasibility, future hype argument, hubris, playing God argument, contempt for flesh, fountain of youth argument, trivialization of human identity, enough argument, genetic divide, Gattaca argument, threats to morality and democracy, brave new world argument, dehumanization, Frankenstein argument, specter of coercive, eugenicism, eugenics wars argument, existential risks, Terminator argument, references. History. According to philosophers who have studied and written about the history of the transhumanist thought, transcendentalist impulses have been expressed at least as far back as the quest for immortality in the Epic of Gilgamesh, as well as in historical quests for the Fountain of Youth, Elixir of Life, and other efforts to stave off aging and death. Transhumanist philosophy, however, is rooted in Renaissance rational humanism and the Enlightenment. For example, Giovanni Pico della Mirandola called on people to sculpt their own statue, and the Marquis de Condorcet speculated that the use of medical science to indefinitely extend the human lifespan, while Benjamin Franklin dreamed of suspended animation, and after Charles Darwin, quote, it became increasingly plausible to view the current version of humanity not as the end point of evolution, but rather as a possibly quite early phase, end quote. However, Friedrich Nietzsche is considered by some to be less of an influence despite his exaltation of the overman due to his emphasis on self-actualization rather than technological transformation. Nikolai Fedorov, a 19th century Russian philosopher, advocated radical life extension, physical immortality, and even resurrection of the dead using scientific methods. In the 20th century, a direct and influential precursor to the transhumanist concepts was geneticist J.B.S. Haldane's 1923 essay, Daedalus, Science and the Future, which predicted that great benefits would come from applications of genetics and other advanced sciences to human biology, and that every such advance would first appear to someone as blasphemy or perversion, indecent and unnatural. J.D. Bernal speculated about the space colonization, bionic implants, and cognitive enhancement, which have been common transhumanist themes since then. Biologist Julian Huxley, brother of author Aldous Huxley, a childhood friend of Haldane's, appears to have been the first to use the word transhumanism. Writing in 1957, he defined transhumanism as man remaining man but transcending himself by realizing new possibilities of and for his human nature. This definition differs substantially from the one commonly in use since the 1980s. Computer scientist Marvin Minsky wrote on relationships between human and artificial intelligence beginning in the 1960s. Over the succeeding decades, this field continued to generate influential thinkers, such as Hans Moravec and Raymond Kurzweil, who oscillated between the technical arena and futuristic speculations in the transhumanist vein. The coalescence of an identifiable transhumanist movement began in the last decades of the 20th century. In 1966, FM 2030, formerly FM Esfandieri, a futurist who taught new concepts of the human at the New School in New York City, began to identify people who adopt technologies, lifestyles, and worldviews transitional to post-humanity as transhuman, short for transitory human. In 1972, Robert Edinger contributed to the conceptualization of transhumanity in his book Man into Superman. FM 2030 published The Upwinger's Manifesto in 1973 to stimulate transhumanly conscious activism. The first self-described transhumanist met formally in the early 1980s at the University of California, Los Angeles, which became the main center of transhumanist thought. Here, FM 2030 lectured on his third-way futurist ideology. At the EZ TV media venue frequented by transhumanists and other futurists, Natasha Vitamore presented Breaking Away, her 1980 experimental film with the theme of humans breaking away from their biological limitations and the Earth's gravity as they head into space. FM 2030 and Vitamore soon began holding gatherings for transhumanists in Los Angeles, which included students from FM 2030's courses and audiences from Vitamore's artistic productions. In 1982, Vitamore authored The Transhumanist Arts Statement and, 6 years later, produced the cable TV show Transcentury Update on Transhumanity, a program which reached over 100,000 viewers. In 1986, Eric Drexler published Engines of Creation, The Coming Era of Nanotechnology, which discussed the prospects for nanotechnology and molecular assemblers, and founded the Foresight Institute. As the first nonprofit organization to research, advocate for, and perform cryonics, the South Carolina offices of the Alcor Life Extension Foundation became a center for futurists. In 1988, the first issue of Extropy magazine was published by Max Moray and Tom Morrow. In 1990, Moray, a strategic philosopher, created his own particular transhumanist doctrine, which took the form of the principles of Extropy, and laid the foundation of modern transhumanism by giving it a new definition. Quote, "Transhumanism is a class of philosophies that seeks to guide us towards a post-human condition. Transhumanism shares many elements of humanism, including a respect for reason and science, a commitment to progress, and a valuing of human, or transhuman, existence in this life. Transhumanism differs from humanism in recognizing and anticipating the radical altercations in the nature and possibilities for our lives resulting from various sciences and technologies." End quote. In 1992, Moray and Morrow founded the Extropy Institute, a catalyst for networking futurists and brainstorming new memeplexes by organizing a series of conferences and, more importantly, providing a mailing list which exposed many to the transhumanist views for the first time during the rise of cyberculture and the cyberdelic counterculture. In 1998, philosophers Nick Bostrom and David Pearce founded the World Transhumanist Association, WTA, an international, non-governmental organization working towards the recognition of transhumanization as a legitimate subject of scientific inquiry and public policy. In 1999, WTA drafted and adopted the Transhumanist Declaration. The Transhumanist FAQ, prepared by WTA, gave two formal definitions for transhumanism. Quote, number one, the intellectual and cultural movement that affirms the possibility and desirability of fundamentally improving the human condition through applied reason, especially by developing and making widely available technologies to eliminate aging and to greatly enhance human intellectual, physical, and psychological capacities. Number two, the study of these ramifications, promises, and potential dangers of technologies that will enable us to overcome fundamental human limitations, and the related study of the ethical matters involved in developing and using such technologies. End quote. A number of similar definitions have been collected by Andrew Sandberg, an academic and prominent transhumanist. In possible contrast with other transhumanist organizations, WTA officials considered that social forces could undermine their futurist visions and needed to be addressed. A particular concern is the equal access to human enhancement technologies across classes and borders. In 2006, a political struggle within the transhumanist movement between the libertarian right and liberal left resulted in a more center-leftward positioning of the WTA under its former executive director James Hughes. In 2006, the board of directors of the Extropy Institute ceased operations of the organization, stating that its mission was essentially completed. This left the World Transhumanist Association as the leading international transhumanist organization. In 2008, as part of the rebranding effort, the WTA changed its name to Humanity Plus in order to project a more humane image. Humanity Plus publishes H Plus magazine, a periodical edited by R.U. Sirius, which disseminates the transhumanist news and ideas. Theory. For more details on this topic, please see List of Basic Transhumanism Topics. It is a matter of debate whether transhumanism is a branch of posthumanism and how posthumanism should be conceptualized with regard to transhumanism. The latter is often referred to as a variant or activist form of posthumanism by its conservative Christian and progressive critics, but also by pro-transhumanist scholars who, for example, characterize it as a subset of philosophical posthumanism. A common feature of transhumanism and philosophical posthumanism is the future vision of a new intelligent species into which humanity will evolve, which will supplement humanity or supersede it. Transhumanism stresses the evolutionary perspective, including sometimes the creation of a highly intelligent animal species by way of cognitive enhancement, i.e. biological uplift, but clings to a post-human future as the final goal of participant evolution. Nevertheless, the idea to create intelligent artificial beings, proposed, for example, by roboticist Hans Moravec, has influenced transhumanism. Moravec's ideas in transhumanism have also been characterized as a complacent or apocalyptic variant of posthumanism and contrasted with critical posthumanism in humanities and the arts. While such critical posthumanism would offer resources for rethinking the relations of humans and increasingly sophisticated machines, transhumanism and similar posthumanisms are, in this view, not abandoning absolute concepts of the autonomous liberal subject, but are expanding its prerogatives into the realm of the posthuman. Transhumanist self-characterizations as a continuation of humanism and enlightenment thinking correspond with this view. Some secular humanists conceive transhumanism as an offspring of the humanist freethought movement and argue that transhumanists differ from the humanist mainstream by having a specific focus on technological approaches to resolving human concerns and on the issue of mortality. However, some progressives have argued that posthumanism, whether it be in its philosophical or activist forms, amount to a shift away from concerns about social justice and from the reform of human institutions and from other enlightenment preoccupations toward narcissistic longings for a transcendence of the human body in quest of a more exquisite ways of being. In this view, transhumanism is abandoning the goals for humanism, the Enlightenment, and progressive politics. Aims. While many transhumanist theorists and advocates seek to apply reason, science, and technology for the purposes of reducing poverty, disease, disability, and malnutrition around the globe, transhumanism is distinctive from its particular focus on the applications of technologies to the improvement of human bodies at the individual level. Many transhumanists actively assess the potential for future technologies and innovative social systems to improve the quality of all life, while seeking to make the material reality of the human condition fulfill the promise of legal and political equality by eliminating congenital mental and physical barriers. Transhumanist philosophers argue that there not only exists a perfectionist ethical imperative for humans to strive for progress and improvement of the human condition, but that it is possible and desirable for humanity to enter a post-human phase of existence in which humans are in control of their own evolution, In such a phase, natural evolution would be replaced with deliberate change. Some theorists, such as Raymond Kurzweil, think that the pace of technological innovation is accelerating and that the next 50 years may yield not only radical technological advances, but possibly a technological singularity, which may fundamentally change the nature of human beings. Transhumanists who foresee this massive technological change generally maintain that it is desirable. However, some are also concerned with the possible dangers of an extremely rapid technological change and propose options for ensuring that advanced technology is used responsibly. For example, Bostrom has written extensively on existential risks to humanity's future welfare, including risks that could be created by emerging technologies. Ethics. Transhumanists engage in interdisciplinary approaches to understanding and evaluating possibilities for overcoming biological limitations. They draw on futurology and various fields of ethics such as bioethics, infoethics, nanoethics, neuroethics, roboethics, and technoethics, mainly but not exclusively from a philosophically utilitarian, socially progressive, politically and economically liberal perspective. Unlike many philosophers, social critics, and activists who place a moral value on preservation of natural systems, humanists see the very concept of the specifically natural as problematically nebulous at best and an obstacle to progress at worst. In keeping with this, many prominent transhumanist advocates refer to the transhumanism's critics on the political right and left jointly as bioconservatives or bio-Luddites, the latter term alluding to the 19th century anti-industrialization social movement that opposed the replacement of human manual laborers and machines. Currents. There is a variety of opinion within transhumanist thought. Many of the leading transhumanist thinkers hold views that are under constant revision and development. Some distinctive currents of transhumanism are identified and listed here in alphabetical order. Abolitionism, an ethical philosophy based on the perceived obligation to use technology to eliminate involuntary suffering in all sentient life. Democratic transhumanism, a political philosophy synthesizing liberal democracy, social democracy, radical democracy, and transhumanism. Extropianism, an early school of transhumanist thought characterized by a set of principles advocating a proactive approach to human evolution. Immortalism, a moral philosophy based on the belief that technological immortality is possible and desirable, and advocating research and development to ensure its realization. Libertarian transhumanism, a political philosophy synthesizing libertarianism and transhumanism. Postgenderism, a social philosophy which seeks the voluntary elimination of gender in the human species through the application of advanced biotechnology and assisted reproductive technologies. Singularitarianism, a moral philosophy based on the belief that a technological singularity is possible and advocating deliberate action to effect it and assure its safety. Technogaianism, an ecological philosophy based on the belief that emerging technologies can help restore Earth's environment and that developing safe, clean, alternative technology should therefore be an important goal of environmentalists. Spirituality. Although some transhumanists report a strong sense of secular spirituality, they are for the most part atheists. A minority of transhumanists, however, follow liberal forms of Eastern philosophical traditions such as Buddhism and yoga, or have merged their transhumanist ideas with established Western religions such as liberal Christianity or Mormonism. Despite the prevailing secular attitude, some transhumanists pursue hopes traditionally espoused by religions, such as immortality. While several controversial new religious movements, originating in the late 20th century, have explicitly embraced transhumanist goals of transforming the human condition by applying technology to the altercation of the mind and body, such as realism. However, most thinkers associated with the transhumanist movement focus on the practical goals of using technology to help achieve longer and healthier lives, while speculating that future understanding of neurotheology and the application of neurotechnology will enable humans to gain greater control of altered states of consciousness, which were commonly interpreted as spiritual experiences, and thus achieve more profound self-knowledge. The majority of transhumanists are materialists who do not believe in a transcendent human soul. Transhumanist personhood theory also argues that the unique identification of moral actors and subjects with biological humans, judging as speciesist the exclusion of non-human and part-human animals and sophisticated machines from ethical consideration. Many believe in the compatibility of human minds with computer hardware and the theoretical implication that human consciousness may someday be transferred to alternative media, a speculative technique known as mind uploading. One extreme formulation of this idea may be found in Frank Tipler's proposal of the Omega Point. Drawing upon ideas in digitalism, Tipler has advanced the notion that the collapse of the universe billions of years hence could create conditions for the perpetuation of humanity in a simulated reality within a megacomputer, and thus achieve a form of post-human godhood. Although not a transhumanist, Tipler's thought was inspired by the writings of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a paleontologist and Jesuit theologian who saw evolutionary telos in the development of an encompassing noosphere, a global consciousness. The idea of uploading personality to a non-biological substrate and the underlying assumptions that are criticized by a wide range of scholars, scientists, and activists, sometimes with regard to transhumanism itself, sometimes with regard to thinkers such as Marvin Minsky or Hans Moravec, who are often seen as its originators. Relating the underlying assumptions, for example, to the legacy of cybernetics, some have argued that this materialist hope engenders a spiritual monism, a variant of philosophical idealism. Viewed from the conservative Christian perspective, the idea of mind uploading is asserted to represent the denigration of the human body characteristic of Gnostic belief. Transhumanism and its presumed intellectual progenitors have also been described as neo-Gnostic by non-Christian and secular commentators. The first dialogue between transhumanism and faith was the focus of an academic seminar held at the University of Toronto in 2004, because it might serve a few of the same functions that people have traditionally sought in religion. Religious and secular critics maintain that transhumanism is itself a religion or, at the least, a pseudo-religion. Religious critics alone faulted the philosophy of transhumanism as offering no eternal truths nor a relationship with the divine. They commented that a philosophy bereft of these beliefs leaves humanity adrift in a foggy sea of postmodern cynicism and anomie. Transhumanists responded that such criticisms reflect a failure to look at the actual content of the transhumanist philosophy, which, far from being cynical, is rooted in optimistic, idealistic attitudes that trace back to the Enlightenment. Following this dialogue, William Sinn's BrainBridge conducted a pilot study, published in the Journal of Evolution and Technology, suggesting that the religious attitudes were negatively correlated with acceptance of transhumanist ideas, and indicating that individuals with highly religious worldviews tended to perceive transhumanism as being a direct, competitive, though ultimately futile, affront to their spiritual beliefs. Practice. While some transhumanists take an abstract and theoretical approach to the perceived benefits of emerging technologies, others have offered specific proposals for the modification of the human body, including heritable ones. Transhumanists are often concerned with the methods of enhancing the human nervous system. Though some propose modification of the peripheral nervous system, the brain is considered the common denominator of personhood and is thus the primary focus of transhumanist ambitions. As proponents of self-improvement and body modification, transhumanists tend to use existing technologies and technologies that supposedly improve the cognitive and physical performance while engaging in routines and lifestyles designed to improve health and longevity. Depending on their age, some transhumanists express concern that they will not live to reap the benefits of future technologies. However, many have a great interest in life extension strategies and in pending research on cryonics in order to make the latter a viable option of last resort rather than remaining an unproven method. Regional and global transhumanist networks and communities with a range of objectives exist to provide support and forums for discussion and collaborative projects. Technologies of interest. Main article: Human Enhancement Technologies. Transhumanists support the emergence and convergence of technologies such as nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, and cognitive science, NBIC, and hypothetical future technologies such as simulated reality, artificial intelligence, superintelligence, mind uploading, and cryonics. They believe that humans can and should use these technologies to become more than human. They therefore support the recognition and/or protection of cognitive liberty, morphological freedom, and procreative liberties as civil liberties, so as to guarantee individuals the choice of using human enhancement technologies on themselves and their children. Some speculate that human enhancement techniques and other emerging technologies may facilitate a more radical human enhancement by the midpoint of the 21st century. A 2002 report, Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance, commissioned by the National Science Foundation and U.S. Department of Commerce, contains descriptions and commentaries on the state of NBIC science and technology as major contributors to these fields. The report discusses potential uses and technologies in implementing transhumanist goals of enhanced performance and health, and ongoing work on planned applications of human enhancement technologies in the military and in the rationalization of the human-machine interface in industry. While international discussion of converging technologies and NBIC concepts includes strong criticism of their transhumanist orientation and alleged science fictional character, research on brain and body alteration technologies has accelerated under the sponsorship of the U.S. Department of Defense, which is interested in the battleground advantages they would provide to the super soldiers of the United States and its allies. Art and Culture. Main article: Transhumanism in Fiction and Transhumanist Art. Transhumanist themes have become increasingly prominent in various literary forms during the period in which the movement itself has emerged. Contemporary science fiction often contains positive renditions of technologically enhanced human life set in utopian, especially techno-utopian, societies. However, science fiction's depictions of enhanced humans or other post-human beings frequently come with a cautionary twist. The more pessimistic scenarios include many horrific or dystopian tales of human bioengineering gone wrong. In the decades immediately before transhumanism emerged as an explicit movement, many transhumanist concepts and themes began appearing in the speculative fiction of authors such as Richard A. Hanlon in the Lazarus Long series, 1941-1987, A.E. von Vogt and Slan, 1946, Isaac Asimov, iRobot, 1950, Arthur C. Clarke, Childhood's End, 1953, and Stanislaw Lem, Cyriad, 1967. The cyberpunk genre, exemplified by William Gibson's Neuromancer in 1984 and Bruce Sterling's Schizomatrix in 1985, has particularly been concerned with the modification of human bodies. Other novels dealing with transhumanist themes that have stimulated broad discussion of these issues include Blood Music, 1985, by Greg Bear, The Exogenesis Trilogy, 1987-1989, by Octavia Butler, The Beggar's Trilogy, 1990-1994, by Nancy Kress, much of Greg Egan's work since the early 1990s, such as Permutation City, 1994, and Diaspora, 1997, The Boar Maker, 1995, by Linda DeGatta, Oixenkrieg, 2003, by Margaret Atwood, The Elementary Particles, English Translation, 2001, and Possibility of an Island, English Translation, 2006, by Michael Houellebecq, and Glasshouse, 2005, by Charles Stross. Many of these works are considered part of the cyberpunk genre and its post-cyberpunk offshoot. Fictional transhumanist scenarios have also become popular in other media during the late 20th and early 21st centuries. Such treatments are found in comic books, Captain America 1941, Him 1967, Transmetropolitan 1997, films 2001 A Space Odyssey, 1968 Blade Runner, 1982 Gattaca, 1997 Repo: The Genetic Opera, 2008 and television series, The Cybermen of Doctor Who, 1966, The $6 Million Man, 1973, The Borg of Star Trek: The Next Generation, 1989, Manga and Anime, Galaxy Express 999, 1978, Appleseed, 1985, Ghost in the Shell, 1989, and Gundam Seed, 2002, Computer Games, Metal Gear Solid, 1998, Deus Ex, 2000, Half-Life 2, 2004, and Role-Playing Games, Shadowrun, 1989, Transhuman Space, 2002. In addition to the work of Natasha Vitamore, curator of the Transhumanist Arts and Culture Center, transhumanist themes appear in the visual and performing arts. Carnal art, a form of sculpture originated by French artist Orlan, uses the body as its medium and plastic surgery as its method. commentators have pointed to the American performer Michael Jackson as having used technology such as plastic surgery, skin lightening drugs, and hyperbaric oxygen therapy over the course of his career, with the effect of transforming his artistic persona so as to blur the identities of race, gender, and age. The work of Australian artist Sterlark centers on the altercation of his body by robotic prosthesis and tissue engineering. Other artists whose work coincided with the emergence and flourishing of transhumanism and who explored themes related to transformation of the body are Yugoslavian performance artist Marina Abramović, the American media artist Matthew Barney. A 2005 show, Becoming Animal, at the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art presented exhibits by 12 artists whose work concerns the effect of technology in erasing boundaries between the human and non-human. Controversy. Transhumanist thought and research departs significantly from mainstream and often direct challenges to orthodox theories. The very notion and prospect of human enhancement and related issues also arouse public controversy. Criticisms of transhumanism and its proposals take two forms: those objecting to the likelihood of transhumanist goals being achieved, practical criticisms, and those objecting to the moral principles or worldview sustaining transhumanist proposals or underlining transhumanism itself, ethical criticisms. However, these two strains sometimes converge and overlap, particularly when considering the ethics of changing human biology in the face of incomplete knowledge. Critics or opponents often see transhumanist goals as posing threats to human values. Some also argue the strong advocacy of transhumanist approach to improving the human condition might divert attention and resources from social solutions. As most transhumanists support non-technological changes to society, such as the spread of civil rights and civil liberties, and most critics of transhumanism support technological advances in areas such as communications and healthcare, the difference is often a matter of emphasis. Sometimes, however, there are strong disagreements about the very principles involved, with divergent views on humanity, human nature, and the morality of transhumanist aspirations. At least one public interest organization, the U.S.-based Center for Genetics and Society, was formed in 2001 with the specific goal of opposing transhumanist agendas that involve transgenerational modification of human biology, such as the full-term human cloning and germinal choice technology. The Institute on Biotechnology and the Human Future of the Chicago-Kent College of Law critically scrutinizes proposed applications of genetic and nanotechnologies to human biology in an academic setting. Some of the more widely known critiques of the transhumanist program refer to novels and fictional films. These works of art, despite presenting imagined worlds rather than philosophical analyses, are used as touchstones for some of the more formal arguments. Infeasibility, Future Hype Argument. In his 1992 book Future Hype, The Tyranny of Prophecy, sociologist Max Dublin points out many failed predictions of technological progress and argues that modern futurist predictions will prove similarly inaccurate. He also objects to what he sees as scientism, fanaticism, and nihilism by a few in advancing transhumanist causes, and writes that historical parallels exist to millenarian religions and communist doctrines. Several notable transhumanists have predicted that death-defeating technologies will arrive, usually late, within their own conventionally expected lifetimes. Wired magazine founding executive editor Kevin Kelly has argued these transhumanists have overly optimistic expectations of when dramatic technological breakthroughs will occur, because they hope to be saved from their own deaths by those developments. Despite his sympathies for transhumanism, in his 2002 book Redesigning Humans, Our Inevitable Genetic Future, public health professor Gregory Stock is skeptical of the technical feasibility and mass appeal of the cyborgization of humanity predicted by Raymond Kurzweil, Hans Moravec, and Kevin Warwick. He predicts that throughout the 21st century, many humans will find themselves deeply integrated into systems of machines but will remain biological. Primary changes to their own form and character will arise not from cyberware, but from direct manipulation of their genetics, metabolism, and biochemistry. In his 2006 book, Future Hype, The Myths of Technology Change, computer science and engineer Bob Scheidenschiker argues that today's technological achievements are not unprecedented. Exposing major myths of technology and examining the history of high-tech hype, he aims to uncover the inaccuracies and misunderstandings that may characterize the popular and transhumanist views of technology, to explain how and why these views are created, and to illustrate how technological change in fact proceeds. Those thinkers who defend the likelihood of massive technological change within a relatively short time frame emphasize what they describe as a past pattern of exponential increases in humanity's technological capabilities. This emphasis appears in the work of popular science writer Demian Broderick, notably his 1977 book, The Spike, which contains his speculations about the radically changed future. Kurzweil develops this position in much detail in his 2005 book, The Singularity is Near. Broderick points out that many of the seemingly implausible predictions of early science fiction writers have, indeed, come to pass, among them nuclear power and space travel to the moon. He claims that there is a core rationalization to current predictions of very rapid change, asserting that such observers as Kurzweil have a good track record of predicting the pace of innovation. Hubris, playing the God argument. There are two distinct categories of criticism, theological and secular, that have been referred to as playing God arguments. The first category is based on the alleged inappropriateness of humans substituting themselves for an actual God. This approach is exemplified by the 2002 Vatican statement, Communion and Stewardship, Human Persons Created in the Image of God, in which it is stated that changing the genetic identity of man as a human person through the production of an infrahuman being is radically immoral, implying, as it would, that, quote, man has full right of disposal over his own biological nature, end quote. At the same time, the statement argues that creation of a superhuman or spiritually superior being is unthinkable, since true improvement can only come through religious experience and is realizing more fully the image of God. Christian theologians and lay activists of several churches and denominations have expressed similar objections to transhumanism and claim that Christians already enjoy, however postmortem, what radical humanism promises, such as indefinite life extension or abolition of suffering. In this view, transhumanism is just another representative of the long line of utopian movements which seek to amenitize the echelon, i.e. try to create heaven on earth. The second category is aimed mainly at algeny, which Jeremy Rifkin defined as the upgrading of existing organisms and design of wholly new ones with the intent of perfecting their performance, and, more specifically, attempts to pursue transhumanist goals by way of genetically modifying human embryos in order to create designer babies. It emphasizes the issue of biocomplexity and the unpredictability of attempts to guide the development of products of biological evolution. This argument, elaborated in particular by biologist Stuart Newman, is based on the recognition that the cloning of germline genetic engineering of animals are error-prone and inherently disruptive of the embryonic development. Accordingly, so it is argued, it would create unacceptable risks to use such methods on human embryos. Performing experiments, particularly ones with permanent biological consequences on developing humans, would thus be in violation of accepted principles governing research on human subjects, see 1964 Declaration of Helsinki. Moreover, because improvements in experimental outcomes in one species are not automatically transferable to a new species without further experimentation, there is claimed to be no ethical route to genetic manipulation of humans at early stages of development. As a practical matter, however, international protocols on human subject research may not present a legal obstacle to attempts by transhumanists and others to improve their offspring by germinal choice technology. According to legal scholar Kirsten Rabe Smolensky, existing laws would protect parents who choose to enhance their child's genome from future liability arising from adverse outcomes of the procedure. Religious thinkers allied with transhumanist goals, such as theologians Ronald Cole Turner and Ted Peters, reject the first argument, holding that the doctrine of co-creation provides an obligation to use genetic engineering to improve human biology. Transhumanists and other supporters of genetic engineering do not dismiss the second argument out of hand, insofar as there is a high degree of uncertainty about the likely outcomes of genetic modification experiments in humans. However, bioethicist James Hughes suggests that one possible ethical route to the genetic manipulation of humans at early developmental stages is the building of computer models of the human genome, the proteins it specifies, and the tissue engineering he argues that it also codes for. With the exponential progress in bioinformatics, Hughes believes that the virtual model of genetic expression of the human body will not be far behind, and that it will soon be possible to accelerate approval of genetic modifications by simulating their effects in virtual humans. Public health professor Gregory Stock points to artificial chromosomes as alleged safer alternatives to existing genetic engineering techniques. Transhumanists therefore argue that parents have a moral responsibility of beneficence to make use of these methods if and when they are shown to be reasonably safe and effective to have the healthiest children possible. This responsibility is a moral judgment best left to individual conscience rather than imposed by law in all but extreme cases. In this context, the emphasis on freedom of choice is called procreative liberty. Contempt for the flesh, fountain of youth argument. Professor Mary Midgley, in her 1992 book Science is Salvation, traces the notion of achieving immortality by transcendence of the material human body, echoed in the transhumanist tenet of mind uploading, to a group of male scientific thinkers in the early 20th century, including J.B.S. Haldane and members of his circle. She characterizes these ideas as quasi-scientific dreams and prophecies, involving visions of escape from the body coupled with self-indulgent, uncontrolled power fantasies. Her argument focuses on what she perceives as the pseudoscientific speculations and irrational, fear-of-death-driven fantasies of these thinkers, their disregard for laymen, and the remoteness of their eschatological visions. Many transhumanists see the 2006 film The Fountain's theme of necrophobia of the quixotic quest for eternal youth as depicting some of these criticisms. What is perceived as contempt for the flesh in the writings of Marvin Minsky, Hans Moravec, and some transhumanists has also been the target of other critics for what they claim to be an instrumental conception of the human body. Reflecting the strain of feminist criticism of the transhumanist program, philosopher Susan Bordeaux points to the contemporary obsessions with slenderness, youth, and physical perception, which she sees as affecting both men and women, but in distinctive ways, as, quote, the logical, if extreme, manifestations of anxieties and fantasies fostered by our culture, end quote. Some critics question other social implications of the movement's focus on body modification. Political scientist Klaus Gerd Geisen, in particular, has asserted that transhumanism's concentration on altering the human body represents the logical yet tragic consequence of atomized individualism and body commodification within a consumer culture. Nick Bostrom asserts that the desire to retain youth specifically and transcend the natural limitations of the human body in general is pan-cultural and pan-historic and is therefore not uniquely tied to the culture of the 20th century. He argues that the transhumanist program is an attempt to channel that desire into a specific scientific project on par with the Human Genome Project and achieve the humanity's oldest hope rather than a puerile fantasy or social trend. Trivialization of human identity. Enough argument. In his 2003 book Enough, Staying Human in an Engineered Age, environmental ethicist Bill McKibben argued at length against many of the technologies that are postulated or supported by transhumanists, including germinal choice technology, nanomedicine, and life extension strategies. He claims that it would be morally wrong for humans to tamper with fundamental aspects of themselves or their children in an attempt to overcome universal human limitations, such as vulnerability to aging, maximum lifespan, and biological constraints on physical and cognitive ability. Attempts to improve themselves through such manipulation would remove limitations that provide a necessary context for the experience of meaningful human choice. He claims that human lives would no longer seem meaningful in a world where such limitations could be overcome technologically. Even the goal of using germinal choice technology for clearly therapeutic purposes should be relinquished, for it would inevitably produce temptations to tamper with such things as cognitive capacities. He argues that it is possible for societies to benefit from renouncing particular technologies, using examples as Ming China, Tokugawa Japan, and contemporary Amish. Transhumanists and other supporters of technological alteration of human biology, such as science journalist Ronald Bailey, reject as extremely subjective the claim that life would be experienced as meaningless if some human limitations are overcome with enhancement technologies. They argue that these technologies will not remove the bulk of individual and social challenges humanity faces. They suggest that a person with greater abilities would tackle more advanced and more difficult problems and continue to find meaning in the struggle to achieve excellence. Bailey also claims that McKibben's historical examples are flawed and support different conclusions when studied more closely. For example, a few of the more cautious than the Amish about embracing new technologies, but though they shun television and use horses and buggies, some are welcoming of the possibilities of gene therapy, since inbreeding has afflicted them with a number of rare genetic diseases. Genetic divide. Attica argument. Some critics of libertarian transhumanism have focused on its likely socioeconomic consequences in societies in which divisions between rich and poor are on the rise. Bill McKibben, for example, suggests that emerging human enhancement technologies would be disproportionately available to those with greater financial resources, thereby exacerbating the gap between the rich and poor and creating a genetic divide. Lee M. Silver, a biologist and science writer who coined the term reprogenetics and supports its applications, has nonetheless expressed concern that these methods could create a two-tiered society of genetically engineered haves and have-nots if social democratic reforms lag behind implementation of enhanced technologies. Critics who make these arguments do not thereby necessarily accept the transhumanist assumption that human enhancement is a positive value. In their view, it should be discouraged or even banned because it could confer additional power upon the already powerful. The 1997 film Gattaca's depiction of the dystopian society in which one's social class depends entirely on genetic modifications is often cited by critics in support of these views. These criticisms are also voiced by non-libertarian transhumanist advocates, especially self-described democratic transhumanists, who believe that the majority of current or future social and environmental issues, such as unemployment and resource depletion, need to be addressed by a combination of political and technological solutions, such as a guaranteed minimum income and alternative technology. Therefore, on the specific issue of emerging genetic divide due to unequal access to human enhancement technologies, bioethicist James Hughes, in his 2004 book Citizen Cyborg, Why Democratic Societies Must Respond to the Redesigned Human of the Future, argues that progressives, or, more precisely, techno-progressives, must articulate and implement public policies such as universal healthcare voucher system that covers human enhancement technologies in order to extenuate the problem as much as possible, rather than try to ban human enhancement technologies. The latter, he argues, might actually worsen the problem by making these technologies unsafe or available only to the wealthy on the black market or in countries where such a ban is not enforced. Threats to morality and democracy. Brave New World argument. Various arguments have been made to the effect that society would develop human enhancement technologies may come to resemble the dystopia depicted in the 1932 book Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Sometimes, as in the writings of Leon Cass, the fear is that various institutions and practices judged as fundamental to civilized society would be damaged or destroyed. In his 2002 book Our Post-Human Future, and in a 2004 Foreign Policy magazine article, political economist and philosopher Francis Fukuyama designates transhumanism the world's most dangerous idea because he believes it may undermine the egalitarian ideals of liberal democracy through a fundamental alteration of human nature. Social philosopher Eugen Habermas makes a similar argument in his 2003 book, The Future of Human Nature, in which he asserts that moral autonomy depends on not being subject to another's unilaterally imposed specifications. Habermas thus suggests that the human species ethic would be undermined by embryo-stage genetic alteration. Critics such as Cass, Fukuyama, and a variety of Christian authors hold that attempts to significantly alter human biology are not only inherently immoral, but also threats to social order. Alternatively, they argue that implementation of such technologies would lead to the naturalizing of social hierarchies or place new means of control in the hands of totalitarian regimes. The AI pioneer Joseph Weizenbaum criticizes what he sees as a misanthropic tendency in the language and ideas of some of his colleagues, in particular Marvin Minsky and Hans Moravec, which, by devaluing the human organism per se, promotes a discourse that enables divisive and undemocratic social policies. In a 2004 article in Reason, science journalist Ronald Bailey has contested the assertions of Fukuyama by arguing that political equality has never rested on the facts of human biology. He asserts that liberalism was founded not on the proposition of effective equality of human beings or de facto equality, but on the assertion of an equality in political rights before law, or de jure quality. Bailey asserts that the products of genetic engineering may well ameliorate, rather than exacerbate, human inequality, given to the many what were once privileges to the few. Moreover, he argues that the crowning achievement of the Enlightenment is the principle of tolerance. In fact, he argues, political liberalism is already the solution to the issue of human and post-human rights, since, in liberal societies, the law is meant to apply equally to all, no matter how rich or poor, powerful or powerless, educated or ignorant, enhanced or unenhanced. Other thinkers who are sympathetic to the transhumanist ideas, such as philosopher Russell Blackford, have also objected to the appeal to tradition and what they see as alarmist involved in Brave New World-type arguments. Dehumanization, the Frankenstein argument. Biopolitical activist Jeremy Rifkin and biologist Stuart Newman accept that biotechnology has the power to make profound changes in organismal identity. They argue against the genetic engineering of human beings because they fear the blurring of the boundary between human and artifact. Philosopher Keacock Lee sees such developments as part of an accelerating trend in modernization in which technology has been used to transform the natural into the artifactual. In the extreme, this could lead to manufacturing and enslavement of monsters such as human clones, human-animal chimeras, or bioroids, but even lesser dislocations of humans and non-humans from social and ecological systems are seen as problematic. The film Blade Runner, the novels The Boys from Brazil and The Island of Dr. Moreau, depict elements of such scenarios, but Mary Shelley's 1818 novel Frankenstein is the most often alluded to by critics who suggest that biotechnologies could create objectified and socially unmoored people and subhumans. Such critics propose that strict measures be implemented to prevent what they see as dehumanizing possibilities from ever happening, usually in the form of an international ban on human genetic engineering. Writing in Reason magazine, Ronald Bailey has accused the opponents of research involving the modification of animals as indulging in alarmism when they speculate about the creation of subhuman creatures with a human-like intelligence and brains resembling those of Homo sapiens. Bailey insists that the aim of conducting research on animals is simply to produce human healthcare benefits. A different response comes from transhumanist personhood theories, who object to what they characterize as an anthropomorphophobia, fueling some criticisms of this research, which science writer Isaac Asimov termed the Frankenstein complex. They argue, provided they are self-aware, human clones, human-animal chimeras, and uplifted animals would all be unique persons deserving of respect, dignity, rights, and citizenship. They conclude that the coming ethical issue is not the creation of so-called monsters, but what they characterize as the yuck factor and human racism that would judge and treat these creations as monsters. Specter of the coercive eugenicism, eugenics war argument. Some critics of transhumanism allege an ableist bias in the use of such concepts as limitations, enhancement, and improvement. Some even see old eugenics, social Darwinist, and master race ideologies and programs of the past as warnings of what the promotion of eugenic enhancement technologies might unintentionally encourage. Some fear future eugenics wars as the worst-case scenario, the return of coercive state-sponsored genetic discrimination and human rights violations such as compulsory sterilization of persons with genetic defects, the killing of the institutionalized, and specifically, segregation from and geneticide of races perceived as inferior. Health law professor George Janos and technology law professor Lori Andrews are prominent advocates of the position that the use of these technologies could lead to such human-post-human caste warfare. For most of its history, eugenics has manifested itself as a movement to sterilize against their will the genetically unfit and encourage the selective breeding of the genetically fit. The major transhumanist organizations strongly condemn the coercion involved in such policies and reject the racist and classist assumptions on which they are based, along with the pseudoscientific notions that eugenic improvements could be accomplished in a practically meaningful time frame through selective human breeding. Most transhumanist thinkers instead advocate a new eugenics, a form of egalitarian liberal eugenics. In their 2000 book, From Chance to Choice, Genetics to Justice, non-transhumanist bioethicists Alan Buchanan, Dan Brock, Norman Daniels, and Daniel Wickler have argued that liberal societies have an obligation to encourage as wide an adoption of eugenic enhancement technologies as possible so long as such policies do not infringe on individuals' reproductive rights or exert undue pressures on prospective parents to use these technologies in order to maximize public health and minimize the inequalities that may result from both natural genetic endowments and unequal access to genetic enhancements. Most transhumanists hold similar views, nonetheless distance themselves from the term eugenics, preferring germinal choice or reprogenetics to avoid having their position confused with the discredited theories and practices of the early 20th century eugenic movements. Existential risks. Terminator argument. Struck by a passage from Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski's Anarcho-Primitivist Manifesto, quoted in Ray Kurzweil's 1999 book The Age of Spiritual Machines, computer scientist Bill Joy became a notable critic of emerging technologies. Joy's 2000 essay, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, argues that human beings would likely guarantee their own extinction by developing the technologies favored by transhumanists. It invokes, for example, the Grey Goo scenario, where out-of-control self-replicating nanobots could consume entire ecosystems, resulting in global ecophagy. Joy's warning was seized upon by appropriate technology organizations such as the ETC Group. Related notions were also voiced by self-described neo-Luddite Calle Lason, a culture jammer who co-authored the 2001 spoof of Donna Haraway's 1985 Cyborg Manifesto, critique of the techno-utopianism he interpreted as promoting. Lason has argued that high technology development should be completely relinquished since it inevitably serves corporate interests with devastating consequences on society and the environment. In his 2003 book, Our Final Hour, British astronomer Royal Martin Rees argues that advanced science and technology bring as much risk of disaster as opportunity for progress. However, Rees does not advocate a halt to scientific activity. He calls for tighter security and perhaps an end to traditional scientific openness. Advocates of the precautionary principle, such as the Green Movement, also favor slow, careful progress or a halt in potentially dangerous areas. Some precautionists believe that artificial intelligence and robotics present possibilities of alternative forms of cognition and may threaten human life. The Terminator series' doomsday depiction of the emergence of an AI that becomes a superintelligence, Skynet, a malignant computer network which initiates a nuclear war in order to exterminate the human species, has been cited by some involved in this debate. Transhumanists do not necessarily rule out specific restrictions on emerging technologies so as to lessen the prospect of existential risk. Generally, however, they counter that proposals based on the precautionary principle are often unrealistic and sometimes even counterproductive, as opposed to the technogean current of transhumanism, which they claim is both realistic and productive. In his television series Connections, science historian James Burke dissects several views on technological change, including precautionism and the restriction of open inquiry. Burke questions the practicality of some of these views, but concludes that maintaining the status quo of inquiry and development poses hazards of its own, such as the disorienting rate of change and the depletion of our planet's resources. The common transhumanist position is a pragmatic one, where society takes deliberate action to ensure the early arrival of benefits of safe, clean, alternative technology, rather than fostering what it considers to be anti-scientific views and technophobia. One transhumanist solution, proposed by Nick Bostrom, is differential technological development, in which attempts would be made to influence the sequence in which technologies are developed. In this approach, planners would strive to retard the development of possibly harmful technologies and their applications while accelerating the development of likely beneficial technologies, especially those that offer protection against the harmful effects of others. This has been a reading of the Wikipedia article, Transhumanism.